Good morning, Windalas! As we sing this song, we encourage you to find your seats. Let's clap our hands. Today. It's a nice day outside, right? The next song is Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. I know we sang it last week, but I wanted the kids to join us with the chorus. So because they don't know it, I'm going to teach it to you guys again, okay? Okay, so remember, it goes, you came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Let's try one more time, okay? Okay. Clap our hands. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, and now I know. You go, my Book of Psalms, chapter 139, verse 1 and 2, he says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." Can we read that all together? You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar.
You know my way. What can separate us from your love? You who willingly gave your life for us, who endured the cross, the pain and the suffering. Nothing can separate us from you, Lord God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your love, O God, that you have given to us your one and only begotten Son to take us away from eternal condemnation. Indeed, Lord God, we are so grateful. We are so grateful, Lord, for calling us, O Lord God. We are gathered here because you have called us to come before you to repent of our sins and to receive salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father, we thank you. All these come from you, Lord. Not out of our own free will, but because you have predestined us. And you have drawn us near to you. Father, we offer our lives to you, Lord. We offer everything we have for you. And as we thank you, Lord God, we want to say, Lord, we are willing to do your bidding, to follow your will, not ours, but yours alone. We are so grateful, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Please be seated. Good morning. While we are passing our tithes and offering, as we prepare our prayer requests also. It's getting colder. Amen? Yep. Some of you love it, some of you don't. But praise the Lord, because we enjoy that time we're in, we can just go out and not sweat a lot. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't have a remote. I'm sorry. Is my remote working? This one? Let me just try to put that in here. Is this the one? And oh, there you go. Yeah, control. Okay, while we're trying to deal with our technological problem, let's just pray for our tithes and offering. Hallelujah, Lord. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, once again for all the blessings you have given to us. As we come to you, Lord God, with all of these things that you have given us, Lord, we acknowledge all these belong to you. And so we do this, Lord God, with a cheerful heart, Lord God, in obedience to what you have commanded, as we offer to you our tithes and offering, Father God. We pray for the leaders of this church, Lord God, that they would be able to use this in accordance to your will and purpose, Lord God, for the furtherance of your kingdom, for your glory alone. Father, we thank you once again. We give you back honor, praise, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh. Okay. So we're still in Galatians, just in case you're still wondering. We are in the last part of chapter 5. And, you know, this is a wonderful text that we are going to deal with right now, because when I found out about this truth in relation to what our text is, it was kind of funny. And I want to share this with you guys. Does anybody of you remember World War II? I know most of you have not been born during that time. But yeah, World War II, right? And and in the South Pacific, there was these Melanesian islands, you know, the Solomon Islands and those other up South Pacific islands, wherein the U.S. military, they were in this one island and they built an airstrip. With there were natives there, of course, and okay, thank you, sir. There were natives there, and so they built this airstrip so they can bring some supplies and use that more like as a starting point, that group of islands. So while they were doing that, the natives, the locals, you know, during that time, tribesmen were just, you know, they lack technology. They don't know anything about planes, and they don't know anything about any advanced weapons that the other countries, the advanced countries, were using. So they were with the spears and arrows, and they were just watching what these big supplies were doing, and they were clearing that, you know, building that airstrip. And once they watched it, because they don't work, right? They don't have any buildings at all, just their own houses, and they day-to-day living, and they were just watching on the mountaintop what these Caucasian guys were doing, right? And once the airstrip was finished, suddenly there were airplanes coming in, and they were wondering what those big birds were doing on that island, and they sent, you know, those islands were now full of supplies, tents, advanced weaponry, and tanks and stuff like that they were able to bring in. And, you know, the islanders, as they look at those things that are going on down there, they said, oh, man, we want to have that too, right? And maybe in one of those, company of soldiers, they were also giving chocolates and whatnot that they have to the tribes people, right? And so they want to have a taste of that. So what they did was they themselves built their own airstrip, the tribes people. This is a fact. This is not a myth. So they built an airstrip out of the jungle, and then they put up a tower, a mock-up tower of bamboo and stuff like that. They even put a long bamboo as an antenna and a coconut. They have it and use it as headphones. And they put a person on top of that mock-up tower, right? And they even lighted the sides of the airstrip. And in this photo and the next one also, you will see that they also built a kind of plane made out of bamboo and leaves, right? They covered it with leaves. So, yeah, then they waited. They waited for the other planes to come in. But what happened? Nothing. They were wondering, we were doing everything what these people are doing. And they even, there was a story that they were even doing drills. What they see in the morning that the soldiers were doing, they even have that. And I didn't put out the pictures. They have the bamboo. And then they're doing drills, you know, they're doing whatever the soldiers were doing. So they were actually doing it perfectly. Everything was so perfect. The form, the airstrip, the tower. But there was no cargo coming in. There were no planes flying in. And they were just wondering what happened. Now, from this moment on, the cargo cults started, what they call the cargo cult during the time. It says, similar type of cargo cult that we are having right now as Christians, actually, right? As Christians, we tend to somehow copy what the other Christians are doing. Oh, you know, oh, they have a Bible, so I have to bring my Bible with me also, right? My pastor is always bringing, not me, but, you know, see other pastors always bringing their Bibles with them. And they actually are holding their Bibles like this, right? Like that, right? And you tend to just hold it like that too, like, you know, just to present externally that you are indeed a Christian. And the thing is, the same with the cargo cults, these tribesmen, nothing happened in their lives. The cargoes did not come in. And the same thing with the Christians, nothing happened. When I was growing up in that religion before, I would tend to also think that way, right? I go to Mass, I pray, and just pretend that I'm a Christian. But somehow, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Cargo comes not because of runways or even a control tower, but because of a relationship with the one who sends the supplies, right? With the one who sends the supplies. The Americans, they have a connection with the mainland. They have that relationship, so they get to receive the supplies. But with the tribesmen, they don't have that relationship where the cargo is coming from. As Christians before, that we think as Christians before, when I was a Christian before, I mean, I call myself a Christian, right? I belong to a religion before, and I consider myself a Christian. But the thing there that now I realize is, how come I'm not getting that supply from the Lord? Because I don't have that relationship. And in this text that we are about to read, turn with me to, or just read with me from Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 26, so we can relate with this story. In verse 16 it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." Verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And the last verse, "Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." Let us pray. Dear Father, as we study your word today, O God, we pray, Lord God, for openness of mind. We pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit, Lord God, will reveal to us what your message is in store for us. We know, Lord God, that as we live this life, Lord, this present life that we have right now, we pray, Lord, that we would see deep in our hearts, in our lives, how we live it, Lord God, having confessed that we are indeed true Christians. May we know, Lord God, that indeed we are living the life that you have intended us to live. Father, we thank you for your word. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we know that our title for today, by the way, is the flesh versus the Spirit. As we have read it tells us about the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. So, spiritually speaking, every life bears fruit, right? Like every tree bears fruit. But the kind of fruit depends upon the life, where the life is rooted. The kind of fruit that you are showing depends on what kind of life you're living. As we think of this, I would like to discuss with you three components based on those texts that we have read earlier. First, we'll consider the exclusive nature of the spiritual fruit, and then we look at the two main varieties of the spiritual fruit. Number one, you've got to pick your fruit. In verse 16 to 17, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So that means if you don't walk by the Spirit, what are you doing? You're gratifying the desire of your flesh, right? You cannot say, no, not really, but I'm not really walking by the Spirit. I'm just in the middle. There's no middle in the Word of God. Either you're hot or either you're cold, right? There's no lukewarm or in between. You have to stay to the left. I mean, not to the left and the light, but to the left and to the right, right? So, verse 17, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." To keep you from doing the things you want to do. You know, when I read this, I've been reading Galatians, but when I got into this, to keep you from doing the things you want to do, why is it that God included that particular sentence there? Because it reminds you that what you want to do actually is different from what God wants you to do. And he's just really telling us that what you really wanted to do is different from what I want you to do. Right? To keep you from doing the things you want to do. Not one person can actually say, no, you know what? I've been doing the things God wanted me to do. Because we're still living in the flesh. And that's the reason why we're always doing what the flesh wants, gratifying the desires of our hearts. Now, an illustration would be the apple and the cedar trees. Before, I used to read this as cedar. But the other night, I really tried to find out how you pronounce it. And being a Visayan as myself, I would say cedar, right? But kung matigas ang dila mo, it's cedar. I don't want to be misinterpreted as someone who's mispronouncing it. But anyway, that's how you pronounce it. So I'm just trying to justify myself, all right? The apple and the cedar trees, because back in New York, someone called me Edward. And my wife and I, we were laughing because, you know, we know that she is Visayan, but when she called me Edward, I was like, oh, so that's how they really pronounce it, Edward. But anyway, I don't want to jump any further. But so here's the apple and the cedar trees. I found out that based on this story that when you have an apple here and adjacent to that tree is a red cedar tree, 101% your fruit will be what? Will have the what they call a cedar apple rust. It will be sick. You know, it's not perfect, right? Because the cedar tree and the apple tree, when they are planted adjacent to one another, they always develop that kind of sickness you call the cedar apple rust. The apple will be infected with the brown rot, ROT, and then the cedar will develop a slimy orange cankers. Do you know about that? Me, no, neither, because I've never seen a cedar fruit before. I don't even know what a cedar tree is, but when I looked it up, I've seen that a lot of times. But here's the thing. So that's what happens. That's what happens. The same thing with the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. You cannot combine or live with that because you always get infected. They don't come together, so to speak. They don't coexist with one another. So if you plan to plant an apple tree, make sure that the surrounding area does not have any red cedar tree planted on it. So if you're trying to live a Christian life, you make sure that what you're showing is the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of the flesh. Now, Paul also makes the same point here about spiritual fruit as what we are discussing. They can't peacefully coexist with one another. All right? They cannot coexist with one another because the fruit of the flesh desires what is contrary to what God desires, and that is the sinfulness, the sinful nature. Now, as we put our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit takes residence in our lives. And that is the reason why Paul is trying to motivate the Galatians to walk by the Spirit and not to follow the sinful desires of their flesh. Because you cannot do that. It's hard to maintain the outward facade of Christianity whenever you're living a Christian life based on what the tribesmen were doing. Like, for example, what I was showing you. When you become a Christian, there are times that you really want to desire, you really desire to live a Christian life. And you are more like doing that externally. You know, like you're trying to show everybody as that you're holy and stuff like that. But you only become a Sunday Christian. And it doesn't last long because the sinful nature in us always overtakes that. And it's only temporary. So you will see people, like what I've experienced before, they would backslide because of that. They try with their hardest to really live a life of being a Christian. But deep inside them, they're not really totally transformed by the Holy Spirit. And that's one thing that we need to note, how we are living our lives. Are we struggling? Are we really setting up rules or law in our lives on how we should live? And not by grace, but rather by how we can manage to stay as an external Christian. The cargo cult analogy is the same thing. It's hard to keep runways cleared with grass overgrowth and stones here and there, and then maintain a control tower personnel when there's no cargo coming in, right? You have to shut it down when there's nothing coming in. That's what happens to a Christian. They have to shut it down when they are putting on a mask as a Christian. They backslide. But then what happens? When they realize that it's not by our might, but rather by the Spirit of God, then you realize that and you become repentant of that, then the Lord takes your life away from that pit and transforms you internally. So, the flesh doesn't really desire to do what's right because that's the flesh, the sinful nature. Now, we go to the first kinds of spiritual fruit, which is the fruit of the flesh. In verse 19 to 21, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you look at this set of behaviors, this diversity of list that Paul wrote, we think like most of us will do all right with the first batch, right? sexual immorality, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, fits of rage, and orgies. You think like, I don't really do that, right? But the subtle behavior that Paul wrote also on the following verse is, it includes impurity, hatred, discord, jealousy, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, and drunkenness. We consider those as subtle. But that's the problem that we are struggling from, right? Which among you does not envy? Which among you does not have any dissension or any feeling of hate or bitterness towards a person? I'm as guilty as you are. But most Christians, they consider this as the second level. It's not really it doesn't really give more weight than the very first one, which involves sexual immorality, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. I don't really do that. But when you talk about what about drunkenness? Oh, once in a while, I get drunk. Once in a while, I get jealous. Once in a while, I get envious. Once in a while. But does it happen every now and then? Are you living your life like that? That's what Paul was trying to say. That all of these are woven together. You cannot say, those things I don't do, but some of them I do. Because what Paul was trying to tell us is to get away from this sinful nature. He considers them, and rightly so, that all of these is the fruit of the flesh. It doesn't mean that drunkenness is no more acceptable than witchcraft, or jealousy is no less toxic than sexual immorality. They are all sin. All of these are the works of the flesh, the cargo natural to the life, unchanged by grace. This is a life that we live. We live a life that is unchanged by grace when we are living by the fruit of the flesh. Now, take note of what Paul has written here. Those who live this way, he says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who live this way will not inherit the kingdom of God. So just imagine that the strong words that Paul used here. So does that mean that when I'm always jealous, I'm living like that, I don't inherit the kingdom of God? I'm not saying it. It's what the Word of God is saying. Paul is saying if you live a life that produces this kind of fruit, you're not saved. There is no other way to dilute that. That is the Word of God. And that is a very strong advice that we should get away from the sinful desires of the sinful nature, because that's how we live as Christians. We struggle, yes. But what Paul is saying, if you are doing these things once in a while, it doesn't mean that you are living it already, right? That's when grace comes in. He's not taking it back that you have to follow a set of rules. No, Paul is not. Clearly, it is a divine expectation of a changed life in a person who has sincerely and truthfully accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is in cooperation with God's grace. And then the last slide that we have is about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, as Paul has described here, the fruits of the flesh are acts of the sinful nature. These are just that, actions, behaviors, things that people do, right? We've been doing that before we got saved. But the fruit of the Spirit, on the other hand, are character traits. It becomes now woven into your life. It's a character that you're showing. Whatever problem you're going through, you still resonate that fruit of the Spirit in you. The joyfulness, right? The love. Even if the person hates you so much, you still love that person. It doesn't mean that whenever you see the person who hates you, you just go there and just try to hug him. No, don't try that. Unless you want to get smacked. You know, these are ways of being. Of course, it goes without saying that these character traits will manifest themselves in behavior consistent with the life of the Spirit. It's important to know that transformation is first internal. It is first internal. So, are we saying, does the behavior change? Yes, the behavior changes, but it is the person that changes first. And then the behavior changes as a result of that change in the person. In conclusion, a life led by the Spirit is a transformed life. It is a transformed life, not only externally, but internally as well. It is this internal change that we as human beings are really interested in. Remember, whenever we see someone who got so, you know, who is so transformed. Back in the Philippines, you joke about it, right? You say, oh, why have you changed? You don't drink anymore? Why? Are you burned against now? Right? We say that. You're born against. That's what we call them, right? Then we laughed at them. But you need to really accept the fact that when you see a person who has been really transformed by the Spirit, you will really see a transformation. And then you wonder, you know, I know him. He even comes with me whenever we go to the dancing lights during nighttime. And he loves drinking, he loves smoking, he loves gambling. But now, he doesn't even come with me. He doesn't even want to buy lotto or mega lotto. You know, doesn't even desire anymore extramarital affairs because of that transformation. I know this person. Whenever he talks, there's always cuss words coming out of him. He's like a well full of hate and bitterness. I remember I have a colleague that whenever I see that she's coming and I would be giving the report to her, I shudder. I make sure that everything's prepared, right? Because when you greet her, like I was already thinking, you know, am I gonna greet her good morning or when I leave? I always tell her, you know, you have a wonderful day, and she would say, oh yeah, right, it's not gonna be. And then she would like a novella thing that all the bad things that's gonna happen, she already knows about it, you know, that it's gonna be a bad day. I would say, oh, hi, good morning, Bonnie. And she would say, what's so good about the morning? I'd say, okay, you know, maybe she hates the job. I don't know. But, you know, some people are like that. But then when that person receives Christ and truly, sincerely receives Christ as Lord and Savior and starts to live the life of the Spirit, then when you say good morning to that person, what would she say? Good morning to you too, right? And instead of bad things that's going to happen the whole day, she would probably going to say the good things that will come out of that wonderful day, right? Isn't it very encouraging whenever you meet someone, good morning, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, I'm so blessed. Why? Well, because, you know, this and that and things like that. It's so encouraging. You don't say you're blessed because you got a new car, you're blessed because you got a raise, right? A Christian is always blessed because he understands that the life he's living for God, not because of the material things that he has right now. That's the blessing that we always say, this is a blessed day. Amen. So, like the Melanesian islanders building empty runways and control tower out of bamboo, and I was really trying to imagine how that fits the coconut half, like that they put on as headphones. They can attempt to always do that as Christians. We also can attempt to build the Christian life based on externals. Based on externals. But the real cargo never arrives when we do it that way. There will never be transformation. There will never be a change in our life. We always say the same things. We always live the life we've been living before, because what we are actually living is an external life. And we have not totally submitted our life to Jesus Christ. We thought we did. I thought I did. I thought I was living a Christian life already during that time at my early age. But I found out I was just living an external Christian life and trying to do the things that I see my pastors are doing ministry work and stuff here and there. But it doesn't last. It doesn't last. And things always happen in your life that you backslide. You there's a point in your life wherein you're thinking, what's really going on with my life? Nothing has changed. You're still doing the same things. What? Everything you followed completely, it's perfect. The same thing that they did, it's perfect. They have the strip, the airstrip. They built a tower and everything. They followed the drills, the morning drills, whatnot. They even have weapons with them. Maybe a wooden machine gun or what that they tried to build, and still nothing is going on. Why? It's because they didn't have the relationship from where the cargo is coming from. It's because I didn't really have the relationship from where the fruits of the Spirit will be coming from. No relationship with God at all. And I thought I did. So that external Christian life will only lead to frustration, because we really cannot maintain that kind of life. A life rooted in faith in Jesus will lead both to a life filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and to a life that is externally pure. That is what the Lord desires of each and every one of us. And then the last verse says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That is the reason why, brothers and sisters, in our lives, we struggle with sin. We struggle with sin. And we attempt to get away from that desire, because we know that we need to get, that we know that we should not be living a life of sin, but rather a life in the Spirit. Amen. So relationship with the source of the cargo means you get both the cargo, the fruit of the Spirit, and the runway, which is the changed life. And instead of being luxury, that new life is abundant in Christ. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that once again, Lord God, through your word, you, O Lord God, have shown us that the life that we are living should be lived in accordance to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, showing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We know, Lord God, that this doesn't happen overnight. We know it doesn't happen overnight, oh God. But your word is true, Lord God. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Lord, that we, oh Lord God, is a new person. As we accept you as our Lord and Savior, we become a new person. The old man is gone. Our old life is no more. It has been buried. And we should not go back and dig it up again. We should continue to tread the path of righteousness. Yes, it is hard. It's not easy. But Lord, we know that we will overcome all obstacles because you have overcome the world. We thank you, Lord God, once again for your wonderful message today. That, Lord, may your Spirit continue to guide us to live a life worthy of your calling. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's all stand, please.
Why don't we all stand?
there's a battle for us, the flesh and the spirit. Lord, the cross is a great significance, this greatest story that has broke the barriers, that has had a hold on our lives, Father. We were at the flesh, and that's where we were. But until that cross, until the cross, Father, that put the death of that sting that has once held us, is no longer bound us, because the Spirit lives in us and has set us free. Father, it is about us taking that gift, claiming it as our own, setting us free from the things that have held us and has given us the grip that was once there, that when we were held bound, Father, we are no longer in that direction, because that gift, that death on the cross, we as a body of believers here today, I pray that in this room we have accepted Him, because He is the only one that can set us free. Set us free of the dominion of those fleshly desires. Father, You are very clear with Your word. There is no inheritance for those who are in the flesh. It is only that we live in the Spirit that we are. And Lord, we must demonstrate, since there, love, joy, peace. We thank You for this very room, Father, for these people that have come here and have come to this place to worship You. Father, it is not just in this place that we come before You, but this, Lord, this is the place where we seek encouragement, direction, Father, because we walk out this room, Father, we pray that we would live life for You, that it wouldn't just be hearers, but doers of Your word. We just thank You that You allow us to worship You so freely. Father, we just love You, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go to the next song and our final song, I just want to make a couple of announcements. One, I'm going to ask Brother John to put this website on for us. This is our website that where you, and we talked about last week, if you are coming for the December 21st Christmas, this is where you would sign up. If you don't have, if you have an email address, I would recommend letting us know, and we can send this link to you, and that we would go ahead and, is it going to come up here, Brother John? Okay, so we're hoping that this is the way we're going to communicate and get our list. So the registration is under www.winddallas.org. One more time, www.winddallas.org. There was a great video clip last week. And so please sign up first here. We want to find out how many we have that will be coming. And it says here, I think he took it off. Special diet. Oh yeah, do you have any members of your party have any food allergies that we need to be aware of? So we're just concerned. So we want to let you know. And once we get the list, and you're going to get the email, Sister Emily, when somebody logs in and tells the people who's going to come, we're going to get a list, and it will tell us how many people. We need to get on top of this, because we need to find out how many available so we can go ahead and start inviting some friends immediately. Do you have any other additional announcement, Sister Emily, that you want to add to this? Okay, so that means the total. So, the week before. Yeah, okay, end of November. Oh yeah, that's great. End of November. Pastor Ed, you said you wanted to say something? That's good, that's fine. see.
We can shoot the video next week. Yeah.
So please dress your outfits then.
Outfits.
Yeah, costumes are optional, but if you got, okay, costumes are encouraged, but if you got great talents, and you just want to do it in your privacy, you can still go ahead. You can still send her your video clips. She did a great video clip. We were watching it at the youth at the youth Bible study, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. Okay, any other announcements? Anyone else with an announcement before we close in our second and final song? One final thing for me. I just want the women to practice with me this afternoon on the song. So, you guys are ready? Here we go. We're going to do Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. I don't know if the kids come out already. Why don't we have all the kids come out and then they can join us up here.
Can we have the kids sit up front?
Why don't we all just stand up and then clap?
Come on, kids.
You're dismissed.